Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Hey, The Bert Show.
More job cuts yesterday, yeah. Like 7,000 people.
7,000 total from Macy's made the big announcement yesterday and said 850 of those job cuts will be here in Atlanta, but it's going to be at the regional office, so it's not they're not going to close any stores. But it is bad news if, you know, 7,000. Actually, the West Coast regional office is going to have more job cuts than the Atlanta office, but still 7,000, which is about 4% of their workforce.
Times are tough, and everybody's, you know, knows someone who is affected. Melissa mm-hmm. said earlier this morning that her sister got snagged up in some downsizing.
Mm-hmm. Our intern, Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, he just lost his gig.
He lost his gig, too.
Talking to some police officers the other day, and they were explaining about the furlough. Jen and I were having a conversation with somebody who works in media mm-hmm. where they're forcing everybody in the company to take 1 week unpaid leave over the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or like next 3 months, right? Everybody just gets a week off, but unfortunately you don't get paid for it. So it's affecting everyone, and we are going to talk to Molly on the voice disguiser, who actually has a tough decision to make because she gets to choose who gets laid off.
That's unfair.
Hey, Molly.
For her.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I am okay. I have a tough decision to make.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's probably a lot of bosses in your same position having to choose who to let go and who not to.
Yeah. Basically, my situation is that I'm a team leader and I have 5 people that work under me.
Did you say 5 people?
Yes.
Okay.
5 people. And last week I was told that I had to let go of one of my team.
Okay.
And specifically, someone who was hired in the last year. So out of my 5, that left me with 2 options.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a single mom. Her husband actually just left her. That's 3 kids.
How many?
3.
Okay. Molly, can you speak up a little bit more? Like maybe right into the phone receiver? It's hard to hear you.
Is that better?
A little bit. Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So once again, she's a single mom, 3 kids, doing this on her own. The bad news is she's really the weakest link in the team. She is by far the least qualified employee.
And how long has she been there?
She's been here about 8 months.
Okay. So she is employee number 1. We'll just call her mom.
In fact, they've both been in the company for about 8 months.
Oh, I was about to say whichever one's there the least amount of time, but you said about the same. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. They're really. On that level, they're really the 2 options. The other folks in my team have been there significantly longer, so it's kind of like they're safe.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, what is her situation?
The other one is she's a 23-year-old. The great news is she is really the model employee, and she will really be going far in the company. But here's the scoop. She lives with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She actually has a second job as a model. She doesn't really need the money, per se, as opposed to the single mom who is struggling right now. I mean...
Mm. Well, is she living with...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if she was living with her mom because her mom's having financial trouble, just maybe to help her mom out or to help herself out?
I don't know. I think she's just doing it to, like, save money. Like, mm-hmm. Because she can and she wants to buy a house and... She can save by living with her mom.
Wow.
So if you took the personal out of it and you were just making a strict business decision, you would let go of the mom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No question.
But just because she's not as good of an employee.
Yeah, no question.
Mm. But which way are you leaning?
Well, I'm sort of torn right down the middle because, mm-hmm. in this environment, it almost seems cruel mm-hmm. to let go of the mom. It just seems cruel. It's like it's going to put this woman in incredible hardship.
Is there any potential for her performance to improve? I'm just saying, from a devil's advocate, like she's had a hard year. She's had the hard, mm-hmm. probably had the hardest 8 months of her life working for you guys. So, is there any? Do you think there's any room for improvement on her part?
Like how much? Yeah, how much of the issues over the past year might directly be related to her personal problems?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I would say they are pretty, related to the personal problems. But even without them, she was, she wasn't the top employee.
Mm-hmm.
She was a, I was going to say solid employee, but literally subpar. I don't see it improving. It could go back to where she was still a weak link, but without some of the issues. Like, she's often leaving early, dealing with personal business on the phone, which I understand because she's sort of dealing with these kids and daycare. I get it. That's what's definitely come up recently. But it wasn't on an exemplary employee before that. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Okay, employee before that. So I could see that it would shift a little bit, but not significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kimber, welcome to the Burt Show.
Good morning. This absolutely infuriates me.
Okay.
I am a single mom, and I depend on my job. But because I'm a single mom, you're thinking of whether or not you're going to fire me? I don't even think so. It has nothing to do with the job. I wish this lady was my employee so I could fire her.
Well, I think she's trying to be sympathetic because she's a single mom. I think if she wasn't a single
manager,
mom, she would have fired her already.
Sympathetic.
So would you fire the single mom?
Absolutely. If she's not up to performance, I mean, it's unfortunate, mm-hmm. and I would certainly feel bad about it. But as my job as a manager,
mm-hmm.
I can't take that into consideration when I'm laying people off.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do what's best for the company. I would certainly give her a reference if it was appropriate, but I'm sorry, your personal life has nothing to do with how well you're performing, and if you're not up to par, and this other lady is.
Yeah.
That's interesting to hear coming from a single mom.
And from a woman, too, because women are more emotional and can connect with the family life other than personal life, so...
Yeah, and I guess she's trying to be sympathetic, one, because, I mean, you're not guaranteed to get another job for a long time once she fires either one. They're not going to automatically turn around and get another job. And then I wonder, though, I totally get it. I'm just bringing up an argument about bringing the emotional or the personal into the work. But, when you negotiate for your salary, don't you bring the personal in? Doesn't a company feel... or at least sometimes we'll negotiate a higher salary if somebody comes in and says, hey, I got two kids. I got to take care of them. I got to do this. And then they end up getting paid more because they have more people to take mm-hmm. care of.
And that's bringing personal. I've always heard that when you're negotiating, you leave your personal life out of it. Like, that's what I've always heard in negotiating raises, negotiating salaries, that sort of thing. You just leave it out of it. It's about what you can bring to the table and what skill set you have and what leadership qualities you have and everything you can bring to the job. But if you go in there sort of whining about my rent's really high or, well, I got a mortgage payment to pay or whatever.
I'm not saying it's whining, but I bet men have come in, and I say men because usually they're better negotiators. And I think that, if a guy comes in and says he's got a family to support as opposed to a single guy, I bet he uses that in his negotiation.
Well, I know of a situation actually where a man approached another man, his male boss, and mm-hmm. said, "Hey, I want to show you something because I need a raise." And the guy says, "Okay, well, tell me why." Mm-hmm. Expecting him to say, "Well, I'm a 40-hour a week employee, but I regularly work 55 hours a week, and I do this and I do this and this." Instead, he pulled out a spreadsheet of his monthly expenses
mm-hmm.
to show rent, $650 a month.
Groceries,
food,
childcare,
going out, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, "Seeing at the end of the month, according to this, I only have an extra $40. And the guy's like, "Well, move to a cheaper place."
Mm-hmm.
The boss is like, "I didn't care about that." Melody, welcome to the Burt Show.
Hey, I just wanted to say that basically the woman you guys are talking about is pretty much someone in the same same situation that I'm in right now.
Okay.
My husband left me. I've been working for 6 months, just entered the workforce after being out of work for 5 years to take care of my two kids. And mm-hmm. this woman basically has no other options if you guys fire her right now. I mean, I had to take bottom of the barrel, barely making anything, just so I could get back into the workforce because I had this huge gap in my resume history.
Mm-hmm.
And So, I mean, I understand keeping the personal out of it, but you've got to understand the situation in the economy, too. I mean, with paying child care, I am barely making ends meet. I pay $12,000 a year in child care expenses, and that's, like, the cheapest child care that I could find. So, I mean, you're basically putting somebody back in a situation where they're just not going to get anywhere. And I understand, you know, making it just business and not personal, but this is really going to affect this woman and take her just totally under the water.
I think that's why she's calling us. I mean, I think that, you know, a business is not obligated to the employee. The employee is there to serve the business. So, you know, but it is hard when you identify what you do for a living. That's how you identify yourself, is based on your job in this country. So it is hard, I think, to keep all that, you know, separate. But if she was a better employee, like, even because I'm sure this manager, and correct me if I'm wrong, what's our manager's name?
Molly. Quotes.
So even if this employee, the single mom, let's say she's having a rough year, we all have rough times and we're not as good employees as we could be, but she still, I mean, you just said she's subpar regardless of her going through all this, right?
But here's the thing, not Molly, I'm sorry, Melody, you have to reverse it. Let's say that you're not the single mom. Let's say that you are, because one of them is going to get fired with no warning.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're not the single mom. Now you're a 23-year-old in your first job. You're putting money in the bank. You're living with mom. Everything's going good. You work two jobs. You clearly bust your ass at least this one. Plus, you still have a second job, you know, doing the modeling stuff. So you're working your tail off. And then the boss comes in and goes, yeah, we got to let you go.
Yeah, but you have a fallback. You know, you don't have really much more overhead than that. You don't have to pay rent. You don't have to worry about anything else. And I totally see what you guys are saying. And I know that the overall consensus is, you know, you need to take the business and the personal and separate them. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this would really significantly negatively affect this woman's, you know, just livelihood right now and being able to keep up with taking care of her children and everything else. I mean, just child care expenses alone will take you under, and aside from that, you know, everything else is, it's just a hard economy to go out and be.
Let me ask you a question. How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay, you have two. So if you were at work today and the boss came to you and said to you and one other person, I got to let one of you go, and you're a single mom with two kids and the other person's a single mom with three kids, do you say to her, okay, it'll be me, I'll go, because I'm not...
One less kid.
I'd like to hope that I wouldn't be involved in that decision in terms of them saying, okay, well, you two look at each other.
Well, there's a lot of people who work at Home Depot who didn't want to be in that decision, and Macy's and all these companies that are laying off. So if it was...
Well, I would hope
that I wasn't involved in the decision of making another employee, you know, lose their job. I mean, I understand when you're in a managerial position, that's just being an underling, I would hope that wouldn't be my position.
Well, the thing is, Molly doesn't have the luxury of telling the single mom, you've got to step it up or you're going to be fired. She has to let somebody, two people on her staff go.
Well, and if she's being a good manager, she even said to us that the younger single woman is a great future for their company. So she may be held responsible. Say she keeps the single mom, lets the younger one go because, you know, it tugs on her heartstrings. Okay, well, if the single mom doesn't perform and the company doesn't do as well, that's her responsibility. You know what I'm saying? So people above her are going to come down on her and say, why'd you let go the more talented or more productive employee?
Hey, Angela, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is exactly what's wrong with the way people are treated at work environments now. Is if you have a kid, you get special treatment no matter what. So basically, single people or people without kids are treated differently and not given as many benefits because, you know, the people with the kids are the ones that get off early for the holidays, get extra days at the holiday, or are excused because the kid's sick more. This is exactly the example. It's about a work. When you come to work, your personal life is separate. It's a job. You should not be treated differently because you have kids. So this girl should be treated differently because she chose not to have children yet? It doesn't make any sense.
I appreciate leaving personal at home. I just think that's not realistic. Like, I'm not saying this really didn't have anything to do with Molly's decision, because I would actually look at the job hire date, and even if it's 5 days different, I would kick the one that was there the shortest amount of time.
But
that way it's plain, because if you want to do business, then that is, you know what, the newest in is the first to leave. But I think that when you spend 10, 12 hours at work every day, it is impossible impossible as a human being to spend mm-hmm. years at a job 12 hours a day and think you can be mechanical sitting in here and it not be emotional. Mm-hmm. So I we're not machines and we're not coming. I mean, I do think that there has to be, I don't know, I think there has to be a merging of both very staunch business mechanical, but then you can't, your employees just can't be a number. They need to be a person, you know?
Hey, Molly, we're going to follow up with you this week and find out what decision you made and how it went.
Okay.
Good luck.
I don't envy
well,
that.
I have to say, I heard the first person, and I was like, okay, now I know what I have to do. I heard the second person, like, oh, my God. Everyone's made very, very compelling arguments. It's really a tough decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Lands in your lap. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. If I'm in your situation, I decide to do it like on Friday, then call in sick and make my boss do it.
Yeah.
I think that's the only right decision at this point. Good luck to you, Molly. We'll follow up with you shortly, okay?
Okay.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Time for ghosts.
Yay! It's time for the spirit.
How you guys doing this morning?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. We got some great stuff. January was an exciting month. Sean came out and did an investigation with
awesome.
Us at the White House, which Jen had been to. Earlier in the month, we did an investigation. Like we talked about last month, we were letting some investigators, some guests come with us on the investigations and had no idea that this would happen to one of our guests. But she was in the room. There's one particular room in this house.
Where is the White House?
It's down in McDonough.
Okay.
It's one of the very first investigations we ever did, and man, we hit the mother load on this house. It is just absolutely action-packed. There's always something going on in this house. But what happened this time was really, really odd. Young lady was sitting in the room by herself. She was very brave. She was in there for about 30 minutes.
And that's that attic room, right?
In the attic room,
yeah,
exactly, where everything happens.
She
was in the room totally by herself, brave as all get out. I was actually downstairs with another couple, and my brother was there with me. He's back from Iraq right now.
Awesome.
And out of the blue, I just heard, Andy, you got to get up here. So I go to the top of the stairs, and the first words out of his mouth is, she's covered in blood.
What?
And I'm picturing Carrie, you know, the dress, the hair, everything just covered in blood. So I'm not really sure what to expect. When I walked into the room, both of this woman's hands were completely doused in blood. I mean, just dripping with blood going down her hands. It was all over my EMF detector, the recorders, all over the floor, on things
what?
She didn't even touch. And I'm not going to say it was paranormal. She did have a small little paper cut, maybe and not even a quarter of an inch long. I've had a paper cut, and they don't even bleed. Like they bleed underneath the surface, and that's about it. And they hurt like the dickens. You know when you've got a paper cut.
Mm-hmm.
She had been in here profusely bleeding for 30 minutes and had no idea that she was bleeding. No
Weird.
Idea. So it's just really, really, that started off the month
Ooh.
Just really, really crazy. Like I said, I'm not going to say it's paranormal, but the amount of blood that came from this paper cut was insane. I mean, it was just absolutely insane. So that started off. Then we did Savannah. I want to play just a couple. We did one investigation in Savannah, which was a great one.
You'll tell me when I have to get Michelle on, right?
Sure, absolutely.
She's one of the homeowners.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, another business. We've gotten a lot of businesses over the past. I'm sure it's good for their business as well. But we've gotten a lot of really good stories out of some businesses. And this one was an art studio down off of Howell Mill Road. If you want to go and bring Michelle on, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll let her tell you exactly what's been happening there.
Hey, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The good news is Andy has completed his investigation. The bad news is you on the radio with us means he found good stuff. So tell us about your business and most importantly, why you decided to bring Andy on board.
We are a special events facility and art gallery, as Andy said, off of Howell Mill Road. It's a very neat facility. The original structure was built in the 1800s, and we found at the History Center where it was used as a hospital for a short period of time during the Battle of Peachtree Creek.
Okay.
And a gospel church was built on after that, and then an art studio. And personally, I have never really felt anything, but apparently I'm oblivious because everybody else that comes in and out of the facility sees things, hears things, etc. For me, it's just it always feels like when you're alone that somebody is right with you.
They are.
That's what I'm waiting to see.
So, Michelle, you weren't there with Andy when he did his investigation?
I was there with Andy when he did his investigation.
And did you hear or see anything when you guys were together?
I did not actually join him in the room. I was in the building. I just tried to stay out of his way.
Okay. Well, Andy, let's put our mind at ease, I'm sure.
Let's do it. Absolutely. Well, this particular one, and we always, when we go into a location, we always get our recorders going right away because right. You never know when you're going to get one. It doesn't have to be while you're actually investigating. Most of the time, we actually catch something while we're just setting the equipment up. So this is one we just had the recorder just sitting on the countertop there in the foyer area. And it is just a strange EVP, and it makes me wonder about what this one says, if maybe our recorders do send some sort of beacon to the spirits or whatever these things are, that they know that we have a recording device on of some sort. If you want to go ahead and play that first one, Sean.
My ears are
Whoa.
It appears something. To say to me, my ears are ringing, or my ears are burning. If you want to play one more time.
My ears
Yeah.
My
yeah.
ears are burning or my ears are ringing, something like that. And it makes me wonder if the recording device really does, if they know that this thing is on, if it sends some sort of signal to them that we've got a recording device on. So that one is kind of creepy.
And this is if you don't know it, our telephone number is 404-741-Q100. What always happens when we play these is people in their car hear them differently because the way our signal is processed.
You can hear it better than we can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you hear something different, please feel free to call us up and say, you know what? I think it says this.
Mm-hmm. And Andy, if this is the first time somebody's hearing about the Atlanta Ghost Hunters, can you explain what an EVP is?
Sure. Basically, all these voices that we catch, or at least 99.9% of them, we don't hear these at the time. We're walking around with sensitive recording devices that pick up any noise at all. But that's what I don't understand is normally they pick up audible noises, things that you can hear, but sound is nothing more than vibrations and frequencies. And we go back and we listen to the hours, hour after hour after hour of all the time that we were there during an investigation, specifically listening for things that did not occur while we were there. So EVP is known as electronic voice phenomenon, and it is really, to me, the most telling portion of paranormal activity because I have no logical explanation how these things are embedding themselves onto the recorders. I can explain away most pictures, most video. If there's a logical reason why, that's the reason why, is because of the logic. But there's no reason why, if nobody said my ears are ringing or burning, that I should be catching that clearly on an audio device. So, ready for the next one?
Absolutely.
All right. This one was actually caught in the creepy closet, as Michelle called it. This one, there's a closet where they've got all their heating and air systems, pitch black, can't see your hand in front of your face.
It's the adult equivalent of the boiler room in
exactly.
these schools.
Absolutely. You know, that's where Freddy Krueger hides and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely a creepy closet, and there's something going on in there. Just real quick, I don't understand what it means, but it's where's the handle?
Oh, yeah.
There's the handle. And that was not one of us. There had been at least 3 or 4 minutes worth of really dead silence in this room when we caught this, and it just says, where's the handle?
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
Freaky.
Yes, indeed.
It could be candle, too, right?
Where's the candle?
It could be. Could be.
You said it's really dark in there?
Very, very dark. And this was part of the original structure of the house that dates back into sometime in the 1800s. The only known date that they have is they have a battle, a war map of Peachtree Battle. And they have this house notated as the old stone home on the Crooked Road. And for those, I don't think we told the name, it's called the DeFore Center. It's right off of DeFore Avenue off of Howell Mill Road. And right now it looks like new construction, but the walls themselves are actually 27 inches thick.
Whoa.
Of pure stone wall.
Wow.
And when they were doing rehab, they actually found muskets, Civil War bullets still lodged in the stone itself. Hmm. So definitely a lot of activity going on here. Plus there was a murder that took place right around there that the murderer was never found of the DeFores, the people that the road was named after. And they've seen spirits of whatever. Everybody's called a Susan DeFore. So,
wow.
Interesting place. We've got one more. You still there, Michelle?
I'm still here.
What are you thinking so far?
Are you sitting in your car now rather than at the DeFore Center?
Yeah, what time do you have to go into work today?
Well, that's debatable. We'll see what the last clip is.
We'll see what time is sunrise.
That's right. All right, now this is the last one that we caught. And this one, we actually left a recorder in the foyer area of the original structure. And we just left a recorder there. It had been about an hour. Nothing had gone on. And just out of the blue, we just caught a very weird EVP that it sounds like to me says, "I'll deal with it." But I think this is going to definitely be one that the listeners over the radio will be able to hear a little bit better than we can. Again, very electronic. It's, "I'll deal with it."
How far into it is it happening?
This is about 40. Into this clip.
Yeah.
Right after maybe 2 seconds.
Okay, go ahead again, Sean. Yeah, that one's
it's
very
real
faint,
electronic. It's pretty faint, and hopefully over the radio you guys will be able to hear a little bit better. But to me, it sounded like, "I'll deal with it."
Hey, Sean, play that first clip again, because we have a couple people calling.
My ears are.
My ears.
That's creepy, though.
Mm-hmm. It is.
If he was saying he hears something, because you guys were there.
Yeah. Again, it's the movie The Others. You know, they're like, "Is there a ghost in this house? What's going on?" So
hey,
it was a great movie.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
What's going
on? Show.
What's going on?
I'm good. On the first clip where my ears are ringing.
Yeah.
If it was a hospital from the Civil War, it could be a lot of soldiers had hearing damage from the cannons and stuff like that.
Sure.
Oh, you're right.
Absolutely.
Good point.
How long was it a hospital for? Do you know, Andy?
I don't know. I think it was, Michelle, do you know? A couple of weeks, months?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
How long was it a hospital for?
From what I understand, just a brief period of time, a few days, perhaps a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the which employee of yours is the most freaked out of all this?
That would probably be Morgan. She hears a lot of other things. She hears banging. She sees things.
And what does she do for you guys?
Event sales, both weddings and things of that nature.
So you might be in the market for a new event salesperson then.
Right, yeah, we have brunch every Sunday, too. We have a brunch buffet, and I'm wondering if it's going to be me and the ghost serving.
They don't know what minimum wage is now. So.
You know what?
Exactly.
Some people will totally book your space, though, just because
absolutely.
It is. It's cool.
It's not always a bad thing.
Well, you can see if you have an extra person in your wedding pictures when you get them developed.
That's right. If so, contact me, please.
Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Goodness.
Thank you so much for having me. Y'all have a great day.
No problem. You too. Have fun at work today.
Thank you.
This is the second month in a row you've done a business, right?
It is, yeah. Yes. And we actually got an email yesterday, a killer email that we're definitely going to go check out from a homeowner here.
Okay.
They actually caught some audio and video on their own, so we're going to go in and see if we can try and reproduce it possibly bust them, saying that it's fake. I don't know. We're going to see what's happening. You know, we're skeptics. I mean, we're definitely skeptics. We try and disprove activity. We have had people contact us and send us video of this is what we caught in our house. I'm like, whatever. But this actually looks pretty reasonable. Well, thanks, guys.
No problem. Thank you,
Appreciate
Andy. We'll talk again in a few weeks.
Thanks, Atlanta.
The Bird Show.
Hey, is it Andrea? Andrea? Andrea?
Yeah, Andrea.
Or Andrea?
Andrea.
Andrea. Hello, Andrea.
Welcome. She says that. I am no Andrea. I am Andrea.
It's a fake name, so it doesn't matter anyways. How are you?
Okay.
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Can you speak up nice and loud for us?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Tracy is this voice disguised? I don't think it needs to be voice disguised, does it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi. So Tracy is very excited because you have given her an idea for the show, and it has good. It sounds good. It's called Operation Eviction.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
Please tell us all about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been living with this roommate for the past 6 months, and it's been like a train wreck since we moved in together. It's just been horrible. We don't get along. She's at the apartment way too much. And my boyfriend's lease is up on Saturday, and he's not sure if he wants to renew it. And so I obviously would love for him to move in with me. We're, like, at that level. But I have to get rid of this girl first. And she's the kind of person who, like, if I just asked her to, she would totally stay because just to make me mad. So I have to figure out a way by Saturday to get her to want to leave my apartment.
So,
okay.
So you are looking you're looking for a way to have her leave that is 100% her doing.
Yes, ideally it would be like I was almost doing her a favor. Like, listen, I know this, you know, you really want to find somewhere else. I totally understand. I know I'll work something out with my boyfriend. But I don't know what to do. I was thinking about like getting a rat and putting it in her room and making her think we're infested, or like, I don't know, getting spider. And I was even thinking about having you guys like send your ghost hunters down and make her think the apartment's haunted.
That's a good idea, actually.
Ghost.
She might like that, though.
Ghost fraud.
That might work against you.
So I don't even know where to begin on this.
Like ant infestation.
But if you do any of that, then you're going to have to deal with it. Like,
and I don't want to get in trouble. Like, I don't want, you know, I don't want the landlord to know, you know, if I put a rat there, can I get in trouble? I mean, is there like a clause in a lease? I don't know.
Well, do you have a pets issue? Cause you can just say it's your pet rat.
Do you have pets?
No.
Does she like animals?
I don't think so.
Then get one.
That's true.
No, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of what would make me say it's such the last minute, I'm out of here.
Could you borrow someone's big slobbery dog for like a week?
I probably could, yeah.
And say you were adopting him?
It might take
longer than a week for her to get sick of that, though.
Why don't you just start borrowing her stuff without telling her?
But I mean, 3 days is...
Wow, that... Yeah.
3 days is what's going to make it tough. Hey, Meg, welcome to the show.
Hey, I was just calling to let her know that she should probably just make her, like, or let her boyfriend move in anyway, and her roommate will be so disgusted that she'll just, like, have to leave. Or, you know, just, like, be making out in the middle of the kitchen, and she'll just want to leave.
Just her show up one day, and then y'all are macking down on the couch, and then said, oh, by the way, he just moved in, his stuff, you know, don't, you know, let us know if anything gets in your way or something.
Yeah, because if it happened to her, I'm sure she'd do the same thing and want to get out.
That's true.
That's
a good idea.
Would your boyfriend, Andrea, would your boyfriend have any problem being extra, like, guy disgusting?
No, I think he would excel at being guy disgusting.
I mean, like, if you have him come over today for lunch and all the crap dishes are all over the sink, if he's half-eaten sandwich sitting somewhere, if he's hanging out in his underwear... Like, the 3 days, I don't think you're going to do it in 3 days.
I don't think that's really fair to your roommate either, to give her 3 days to find a new place to live.
Yeah, it's too short.
Yeah.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, this happened to me, but I was the victim of oversexed roommates who were just all in my space constantly, and I ended up moving out because I couldn't get rid of them. But any common areas they need to have sex all over the kitchen, all over the living room, the bathroom, whatever. He needs to eat all the food, burp, fart, leave his underwear all over the place, be as obnoxious and irresponsible and disrespectful as possible.
And you can't underestimate man gas. So if he can conjure up a few.
Or wanting to go to the bathroom and they're having sex on the toilet. That really bites them.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
That makes me want to move out of the studio.
I was thinking he also should go shave on her sink. And leave, like, the little man hairs everywhere. Because that's nasty.
So we've got
any kind of little hairs.
Burp, fart, sex, and hair so far.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm making a list.
Hey, Stacey.
I totally have an idea. Is your roommate straight?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Come on to her. Tell her that why you guys haven't been able to get along is because you have feelings for her, and that will totally figure out.
I think I'm falling in love with you. What?
I have feelings for her. Like, you know?
The problem is, Andrea, how old are you guys?
27.
Okay, so she's probably past that collegiate bicurious stage. So
27, you're back in your corners.
Right. Should I hit on her? Should I sleep with my boyfriend? Maybe I'll ask her to sleep with me and my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, that's another angle.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
What's going on?
I was thinking that she could get those apartment guide books and leave them around the apartment in different places, and then when the roommate asks a question about why they were there, then she can say, oh, I'm going to move out. So then the roommate will leave and she can have the apartment to herself.
I have to tell you, I am a little excited and proud of our listeners who have overwhelmingly... I haven't even given out the phone number yet.
Yeah.
And the phone lines are lit up. People are like, oh, yeah.
Roommate drama.
Oh, yeah, get that biatch out of there. Here's what you got to do. 1, 2, 3. Hair, sex, farts. Do it all. And now here's a guy with an opinion. Hey, Brian.
This is easy.
Okay.
Okay.
All she has to do is put plastic over the whole living room, mm-hmm. light 7 candles, and put them in a circle. Be sitting inside the circle uh-huh. with a bloody animal.
Oh!
And like red rum on all the walls.
What?
Perfect.
That's a little dramatic.
Yeah, let me go find a dead animal. That's disgusting.
But that is funny. But just to be sitting in the floor animal. With the circle of candles, me in the middle of them doing something. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, Brian.
Sacrifice always gets rid of roommates.
Cool. Hey, Brian, hold on a second. Sean wants to take you to dinner. I think this is fun. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Which idea?
Good. Hey, I'm 47. How about her sex-crazed uncle moves in for a while?
Ew. Her creepy uncle.
Yeah. Come here, baby. Just a little bit of warmth is all I want.
Oh, my God. You kind of want to play the uncle,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I think he was signing up to be the uncle.
Hey, why did it get all weird right after I complimented our listeners? I'm like, wow, this is great. Everybody's stepping up. And then dude's like, yeah, let me at her.
I'll bring a dead animal over.
Say, Andrea, I think you've got some good input, valuable input. What I don't think is you're going to make it happen by this weekend.
Well, I'm certainly going to try.
I think, why is there a deadline of Saturday?
That's what my boyfriend's lease is up. And I want him to know that he can move in before he renews it.
Well, will he move in if she's in there? Or is that like a condition of, he doesn't want to be around her?
Well, maybe he'll just do that. But the problem is we want her out of the picture completely. She's horrible.
Why don't you just move in with him?
His lease is up.
It's a really great apartment.
Hey, Stacey.
Yeah. Yes.
What's your comment?
I wanted to tell her that she should put baby powder on her friend's fan, so when she turns the fan on, it's like poof. And then put Vaseline on the toilet seat, so when she goes to sit down, she falls.
Oh, like all of a sudden she becomes a practical joker.
and then short sheet her bed, and then when she does fix that and fall asleep, dip her hand in warm water.
And not just Vaseline on the toilet, but the Saran wrap over the top.
And then she pees at herself. Yeah! Freeze her bra!
Hey, Andy, this actually could be the best idea yet.
Hi, Andrea.
Go ahead.
Has your roommate met your actual landlord?
No.
Okay, here's what you do. You get some, like, I can't believe he's not my landlord, to come up and say that you guys need to be out by Friday for, you know, make up some, throw out some big words or something, unless your roommate understands big words. Say that you guys have to be out, and then you actually don't move out, but have your roommate move out, and then have your boyfriend move in, and then by Saturday, good to go.
Done. Got the plan ready.
Oh, this is awesome.
I like
his arm motions were like pointing and letting you know. And
why do I feel like this is the plot of some Paul Rudd, Sean William Scott movie?
And I love the fact that it's you have to throw out big words. Like, you know, hey, you know, we're having a situation with the kerfuffle. So you're going to have to go ahead and relocate yourself somewhere else. All right. This will be the last one, seriously. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey.
Okay, if she wants her out in the next 24 hours,
uh-huh.
get the boyfriend over to the apartment, acting sick as a dog, medicines everywhere, and tell the roommate he's got highly contagious mono, and that she's going to be taking care of him, because everyone knows mono can last up to 3 months.
That's good.
That's a good one.
That is solid. Mm-hmm.
And she'll be out of there. I mean, who wants mono if they're, you know, in school, college, whatever? You don't want it. It makes you sick for months.
I actually
want spleen enlarges, all that good stuff.
When I was a kid, my friend Jason got mono, and he was out of school for 30 days, and I wanted mono for that reason, because I thought it was fun. I imagined him in his house having a great time.
I had mono in high school. The problem is, when you're out that long, they send tutors over to the house to teach
Ew.
You.
Classes. Lame.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrea, we're going to check in with you after the weekend, and we'll find out if you managed, if Operation Eviction, or as Tracy renamed it, How to Lose a Roommate in 4 Days. has worked, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, good luck to you.
Get it. The Bert Show.